Today's Gospel has one of those beautiful central moments in John's Gospel, where a theme which has been developing since the first sentences of the Gospel finds its fullest expression when Jesus says in the English translation, we have it here, I, the light, have come into the world. Whereas in the Greek, it's even blunter than that. Ego phos. There's no article separating I and light. It is all just one insight that Jesus is giving to us. He is the light. The light that dawns in the first chapter of the Gospel, and the light that is promised as the judgment on the world in John chapter 3, soon after verse 16, where God's love brings about Jesus' presence in the world. And Jesus speaks of the condemnation of the world, the judgment of the world. And he says there in John chapter 3, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. Here in John chapter 12, he says, I, light, have come into the world. And once again, that theme of condemnation and of judgment is there. Not condemnation and judgment in the way that we usually want it to be. In other words, the judgment that favors me as being good and disfavors those who disagree with me, that I am pure and others will be going to hell. That is not the sort of judgment that God makes in John's Gospel. It is not the sort of judgment which Jesus represents. It is light. And the sense of light is used in so many forms throughout the Gospel. To enlighten or to reveal is also a very strong theme, especially after the resurrection in John's Gospel. He enlightens, he shows, he reveals, he gives light to the situation of our lives. And it is in John's Gospel that we are introduced to this staggering idea that light is that thing which overcomes darkness. Because in the ancient mind, it was the other way around. Darkness was the thing that overcame light, simply because the light of the sun would go down, and the other lights that human beings had at their disposal at that time, the light of fire or the wick of an oil lamp, was but a puny breaking into the darkness, which could devour and trap beyond the tiny circle of firelight. In our world, with our two bright cities, and light which cries to the heavens for vengeance sometimes, especially when you're an amateur astronomer like myself, we take it for granted that light is the thing and darkness is what has to get out of the way. And in John's Gospel, the revolution that allows us to think like that comes into being. And the light is given to us as judgment. In a sense, in a very real sense, it's the condemnation on the world. That so many things are simply done in darkness, so many parts of the human heart are simply wrapped in darkness, so that the dark little deeds of war and of capital punishment and of unjust judges and of racial discrimination and profiling of the innocent and all those horrors can persist, because we like to bump around in the dark and not be counted. But in Jesus, all of that has come to an end. And the light shows us what is strongest. For Jesus talks here about the fulfilling of God's commandments as being key to belonging to the light. And he will then, in John chapter 13, the very next chapter, as he speaks to his disciples after Judas leaves, he will say to them, there is only one commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. That all judgment comes down to one thing. Light is stronger than the dark that we like messing around in. And that love is the central law by which any other law and discipline amongst Christians must be measured. Not so much the positive law of scriptures, those are guides to tell us maybe that the shape of our love is going wrong, or that it's not really love, or it gives us insight. But fundamentally, even those things in the scriptures and in legal codes which contradict this law of love will themselves become enlightened and will either fade away, because light fills every nook and cranny of the darkness. They will either fade away or need to be embraced in a way that gives light and love. So much of our clinging to positive laws condemning people because of behaviors does not allow through our ministry the light to be shining in their lives, that they themselves can see in what direction they must go for love to be genuine, for the following of God's commandments to be genuine. Today the church also commemorates Saint Athanasius, and really if he'd lived closer to our own time there would be no hope of sainthood for the man, because he certainly was one of the most irascible defenders of light. A tongue sharper than a sword, and a voice which was loud and solid in claiming the light. The light that Jesus, fully God and fully human, gave himself as that integrated being for us and for our salvation. That the integrity of his divinity and the integrity of his humanity were together all the time he walked on earth. And that the integrity of his divinity stretched back into the very light of God himself. And Athanasius upheld this against teachings to the contrary, teachings which made it easier for us to simply see Jesus as condoning our darkness and not confronting us with the light. Athanasius was loud and he was rude, and he tended to get extremely short-tempered with people. All manifestations which we don't at the moment associate with sanctity. And more's the pity. Because the light can hurt. To see clearly for the first time is often a great challenge to us. To see clearly the truth of ourselves and the truth of our societies, and dare I even say it, the truth of the darkness which still boils and roils around in the hidden little corners and nooks and crannies of our church and of its governance and of our own participation in things that are unloving and dark. Today the great theme of light comes together in Jesus saying inseparably that he is light. He would later go on to say inseparably that the commandment of love is the central commandment, the light which should guide all our decisions in terms of the structures of the church and in terms of the church's relationship to people who struggle, who suffer, who try to do the good, even though they cannot reach everything that we might demand of the perfect. Love guides people to a fuller life of moral integrity. Light helps them see their way ahead towards a more profound moral integrity. And our job is not to scream and shout and condemn and wave our fingers and point to the laws, no matter how precious they are to us. No, our role is to give light, even if sometimes that light needs to be starkly shone on our own dark corners and call us to repentance before we are able with integrity to call others to repentance. We give thanks for Christ the light. We give thanks for Athanasius, saint, bishop, and doctor, who proclaimed the light at great personal cost, and gives us the hope that integrity in Christ is the light we not only strive for, but is the gift already given to us, that we may truly be seen to be living in love and participating in Jesus' own mission in saving the world from darkness and bringing the light of God's eternal day to the minds, to the hearts, and most especially to the experience of all people. Amen.